Hi folks, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that short video of Scott Guffrey, and I think we're ready to go. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, so let's cut to the team. We've got Seth today moderating, so let's make it happen.
Hello people, my name is Seth Juarez. I'm here with some awesome folks to talk about app service. So why don't we do this? We'll start with introductions, but before we do, make sure you get your questions in early and often, because I can ask 1,000 weird questions and you won't like them maybe. I'm hoping you'll ask your own questions because they much prefer not my questions. You know what I'm saying? So let's start here. We'll start all the way at the end with John. Tell us who you are and what you do, buddy.
Yeah, sure. My name's John Fancy. I'm a program manager on Logic Apps. So I'm responsible for a bunch of enterprise integration features on Logic Apps, along with a bunch of other people on the team delivering integration scenarios just across the whole of Azure and integrating with other services.
Fancy. I love that last name, dude.
Yeah. My name is Yahai Kiryati. I'm a program manager on the App Service team. I've been on the team for, five, 6 years now, pretty much. From day one. And very excited because I'm on Azure Function. We're doing the Azure Function part.
That's cool.
Which is cool. And so we'll see some cool example demos later.
Okay, so Logic Apps, and you work on Azure Functions.
App Service and Functions,
and you, Andrew.
Yeah, my name is Andrew Hall. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio Tools team, and we build ASP.NET tools and tools for App Service.
I see. So you're on the tooling side to make things work for the Azure App Service and other things, okay?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so get your questions in. We're going to be talking, there's already a question there, but I think it's Azure Service Fabric, which is a later session. So we're going to keep that one for a later session. So let's start with this. For someone that doesn't know anything about App Service, how do you even begin to explain this to them?
Sure, so we can talk and maybe want to jump into slides really quick, and we can do just that.
All right, let's see if they've got you. Oh, yeah, they're right behind you.
They're right behind me. So it's a nice black screen right now.
We'll
see if the Mac is
there. There you go. It's right behind you.
Yeah, it's okay. I can actually see over here behind. So what you see here is the entire Azure platform. Well, not entire. There's so many that icon that we can actually push on one slide. Mm-hmm. But App Service plays well with the application platform, right? So basically, it's one piece of the application. And the nice thing about App Service is, again, it's a piece of the larger ecosystem. So let me really quick just jump in to explain what App Service is and talk a little about that.
Okay.
So at the bottom, what we see is App Service is basically as a platform, right? It's a fully managed platform. It gives you great developer experience with super good enterprise grade, all that stuff. So fully managed means that basically we take care of everything underneath the covers. So you don't have access to the VM. You don't need to patch the OS. You don't need to patch the framework. Basically, you just deploy your apps and the thing works, right? Developer experience, I don't know if you guys are familiar or haven't seen that, but it's awesome. Other than the fact that we support a lot of languages, obviously .NET, but PHP, Java, Python.
Node.js,
thank you. Slipped my mind for a second. Everything from Git integration, Visual Studio, right, TeamCity. We have great telemetry, and we see some of those examples. Fully self-serve, app diagnostic, the whole thing, and obviously everything with the enterprise, you know, SLA, compliance, security, hybrid connectivities, all that. But that's just the bottom part, right? On top of that, we have a bunch of services. Some of them within our team, some of them are external, but it doesn't matter because we looked at them as developer services. When you come to build an app, you need to run your code somewhere where you build an API app, a mobile app, a web app. You have a place to run the code, but you also have Azure Functions now, which is serverless, dynamic, event-driven compute. We got the Logic app. We'll talk a little about that. We got a little Penguin now because App Service now supports run on Linux, so we can actually bring Dockers. We'll see a demo, right, about that a little bit later, which is cool.
No pressure, Andrew.
And on top of that, there is a slew of apps, basically, from e-commerce all the way all to the basically ISVs providing API and services and everything in between.
So let me see if I understand this right. App Service is sort of like the foundation. And in all of the sort of services in the platform, they sort of rely on the same sort of app service underlayer. Am I getting that right?
So you can relate to that. App Service provides now a generic ways basically to run compute, right? You can have your app, whether it's again .NET or any other flavor, and you can just run it. There is no SDK. Most of the time, you know, any apps, right, we support, you know, we'll see it later in some slides. On top of that, you can use other services to build your application. UpService itself is basically supporting UpService, mobile API, functions run on UpService, the new bot service that was released yesterday.
Oh, I see.
Also runs on function, which are UpService.
I see. And so once you have that base, you have, like when I look at those things, I get confused because I don't know, like, where would I use it myself?
Right. So that's a good question. So let's just look, right?
All right, let's do it.
Some example, right? So if you have a web app, if you have an existing web app, and you can see here we have a slew of them, right? We support WordPress, for example, a bunch of DNN, Joomla, with PHP, a lot of the open source. You have those apps, you can just run them on UpService as a web app. We support all the other cool stuff with integration. So we have the CI/CD with GitHub and Visual Studio. You have staging slot that you can deploy on that. We support a wide variety of languages and so forth. If you want to run a mobile application, for example, so mobile apps also run on UpService. But on top of that, we extend some specific mobile features, like, for example, the offline sync. Or the specific auth that we have in the easy form, and we can show it in a demo. And we have push, obviously, for all the different platform and different data connectivity to other different data sources within Azure that are not just UpService, but we provide a data broker into that. API apps, the same thing. If you want to create API applications, again, we got provided all the authentication and easy access control, all the API fundamental like Swagger definition and course definition, all that is built in into the platform that you can easily use. And the API are very easily integrated with, for example, function or logic app. And then we go into Logic App.
So Logic Apps is kind of like solving this problem where really an application today is a collection of a bunch of things, right? In fact, a lot of things that aren't even in your control or things that you've built yourself, SaaS services, dynamic CRM, whatever it is. So Logic Apps is this cloud scale serverless workflow platform that lets you integrate all this stuff together. So you can take the pieces of app service, as those building blocks and connect them together with Logic Apps, but then reach out to SaaS services such as Office 365 or even to on-premises where you may have databases or SharePoint or whatever else you're connecting to. So it kind of provides this elastic glue to kind of collect these things together to create that overall application experience to the end user.
And so if I'm understanding this right, you have a collection of things that you have, like different kinds of software that's running everywhere. You have a service here, a database there. You might have some social thing running on Twitter. Yeah. Logic App is gluing those things together?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, unless you started your company last week, you've got a bunch of stuff that you're glad you've gotten and a bunch of stuff that you probably wish you didn't have, right? I mean, companies have been around 20, 30, 40, 50 years, who've been using technology a long time, just have a bunch of stuff. So how do I take existing assets that I've got and leverage those in new contexts, in new ways from app service, as you know, and continue to get the value out of them? There may be systems of record. But how do I connect that to social media? How do I connect that to SaaS services? How do I connect that to any other resources that sit out there on the internet through REST APIs? And really, Logic Apps is the answer to that, along with functions and our integration with that, to be able to create these applications in a manageable, scalable way. You can connect everything together and see what's going on, have a robust platform, and create that application that you're trying to build.
Hopefully, you'll have a demo on this, but a question that I have is, sometimes Logic Apps becomes difficult for me to understand because of the number of things that you can connect to it. How many things can you actually connect into Logic Apps?
Honestly, today I don't know. We just shipped a whole bunch of additional connectors. I think we're around about 100 or so connectors now, and we ship more every week. So the great thing is that we have a single base that we're leveraging across our portfolio of products, Power Apps, Flow, as well as Logic Apps. So like these connectors, when we push them out, you can use them in different contexts as well. Flow is a sister product to Logic Apps that gives a sort of a different way of accessing the similar functionality. But the key is that these connectors are what provide that ability to integrate with these end systems.
And all I know is that when I had the aha moment of what this did, it literally opened tons of things that I didn't think I could ever do, because legacy system A would never be able to talk to legacy system B, but now with Logic Apps it can.
Yeah, and we try to do it in a single, consistent, coherent way. It's really one of the things we challenge ourselves on is ease of use as a feature, right? So you don't need to know the esoteric details of the thing you're connecting to. That's what really the connector's job, to wrap all that stuff up. So you just, once you know how to use one connector, you can kind of figure out how to use all the other connectors that you've got. And as soon as you've realized that, you can connect to SendGrid to send email, to your Exchange or whatever else.
You can use Twilio to send a text message.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is exactly. So you really get a lot of power as soon as you understand the model and how to build Logic Apps and use these connectors. You can start connecting everything with everything else and orchestrate complex business processes.
businesses with us.
And I think a cool transition to that is with Logic Apps, sometimes you just needed a really small unit of execution to run a couple of lines of code once you receive something, and that naturally flows into what Azure Functions do, I think.
Right. So next piece in the puzzle is Azure Functions, and we have some cool demos anyhow to show all of this.
Oh, cool, cool. Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll do it right now. But so basically, Azure Function is the latest addition that we have. We actually GA'd yesterday.
Oh.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Where's the cake, man? Seriously. Like,
back home.
Oh, okay.
So Azure Functions is event-driven serverless compute, basically. Which means that you write your functions literally as in the form of a function, and you run with them. That's it. You're not aware of anything of the underlying infrastructure. It's a fully managed compute experience. You're not even aware that they're actually running on VM underneath. The name is what we call serverless. Maybe if you heard about it, it's a horrible name because there are actually servers.
Yeah,
there.
It's like a houseless room, yeah, for example.
Just magic.
Yeah. Magic.
Indeed, magical. But the idea is behind is that you don't have behind the fact you don't have any access, you don't know what you're running from. You don't need to know. It's a fully thing. So you can drive multiple events from different data processing and hooks, and we are integrated deeply into other services. So we have what we call binding, and I think in a demo it will be easier to show that. And we support quite a variety of languages. On GA we have C# and Node, and in preview we have F#, PowerShell, Bash, Python. There's another one I forgot. I think so, but anyway.
You'll find it, and command, what's the other one?
Command.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a batch file?
A batch file.
Wow, basically old school.
You can run any kind of code there. It's kind of the demos are kind of funny.
These things are all cool, but I always say if a feature falls in the woods and there's no tooling, does anyone care? I just made that up. And that's why I want to sort of go to you and talk about, like, how are we supporting people with tools to get these features, to get access to these cool things?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to jump in and look at some tooling now. We're going to let Yohai finish, and we can kind of maybe go through.
So there are tools.
There are absolutely tools for all this stuff. The function tooling that Yohai is talking about, we're actually working on it as we speak. It's not available yet, but we're hoping to make it available in the very near future. Think days, not weeks.
Okay.
For download to play with and try out a preview.
Is that what you were working on just now when he was talking? Yeah. I hope so.
Absolutely.
All right, get to work. And Yohai, let's finish.
Some of the cool demos are like, yeah. Early sneak.
So let's finish up with the summary, and then let's get into some demos and some questions.
Cool. So I think we'll just jump into the demo right now. It probably will be easier at this point.
We'll let your screen get back. Oh, there it is.
There it is. So what are we gonna? The thing we're gonna see here, just high level, is like we got Contoso Insurance. It's a highly.
I'm stalking Contoso.
Yeah,
it's
very good. Yeah, Contoso. Yeah. It's a very, very broad company.
Yes, right. They do a lot of stuff.
Yep. So basically what Contoso Insurance has is that they have they want to light up a scenario in which they allow customers to basically upload their claim, right? If they have any issues, they want to basically fire up some claims and be able to start the process. So what we see here is the mobile piece of it. So you have a mobile running with Xamarin Studio. I probably should have downloaded the latest.
I know. I mean, come on, dude.
Right? Yeah. I need to do that. Me. We need to do that. And basically, let's go through the flow, and then I can explain exactly what happened behind the scenes. So I'll pick up one of my two cars. One of them is missing, probably, apparently. And what we have here is basically the second party. We need to like add some stuff. So I have a mobile device, obviously going to take some pictures with that. So I already have some pictures ready. And the first thing we're going to do is just the license plate. And later, we're going to take the insurance card. And you guys can see where it leads to. And then we have the driver license of the second party. We take all their information.
So this is like something you crashed, and now you're trying to get some information.
Right. So I was in a hurry coming.
That's not your real phone number, is it?
Now it's not.
Okay. Whoa. Did you blur that back there, guys?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Phone number. I was going so quick, so I had to like kind of crash my card on the way back here. So here's one image, and let's take another one, real quick. Let's do like this one so we know it's a different. It's funny, you can see the other car in the background. Mm-hmm. I think it's hilarious. Connect 2016.
Did you crash on the way here?
I crashed on the way here, okay. Yeah, it was horrible. Okay. It was very, had to rush and yeah. So we'll hit the done, and basically what happens here is this mobile app now package all the information and basically upload it into Azure. And behind the scene, what we're doing is we're actually uploading pieces of that into storage account, and then we have another API basically to just queue up an item on a queue trigger, put an item on a queue to actually start the process. So claim has been submitted, thank you. And behind the scene, things are already basically happened. So what actually goes here? So if we look at this, at a high level, what we got is we got a Xamarin Forms application on the top, which is the red. And all the bottom, we got the green. The green part is it's a standard MVC web application. Think of it like the adjuster, the person who needs to approve or disapprove the claim. Basically, he has this, and this can run on premise, for example. And we need to kind of bridge in between those. So we have a mobile application that says upload a bunch of stuff. It uploads to storage, put in a queue, and then we have a kind of workflow that mishmash together both functions and Logic App combined together to handle some of the claims, figure out do we need to approve, auto-approve, run some machine learning, and so forth.
So this is a beautiful sort of architectural layout, but when I'm looking at this, it might be because I'm tired, but holy cow, this is a lot of stuff. Is this code available somewhere?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's not available yet. We are cleaning up all the legal aspect of like adding, you know, proper licensing, all the
files. You got to ask Contoso if it's okay.
We need to ask the Contoso, yeah. But actually, it's not that big. If you look at the, all the different pieces that are in here, this is it basically,
right?
Oh, that
helps a lot.
This is it. So what you got here is, for example, this part is the API, right? API application that runs on App Service. And the reason I want to show you something here is, for example, we have a feature called authentication authorization, or in the slang, is EasyAuth. Mm-hmm. And what it enables you to do is with a flick of a button basically on off to enable authentication authorization for your application. So we protect your NPI point without you need to actually know or understand how OAuth work at all.
And it will go through this sort of the OAuth dance that it needs to go through?
Yep. And basically what we do, you can see we have some social platform here that we can integrate with. We get Azure Active Directory, we got your Microsoft account. You can see some information. You can see here all the details that you can get, and I can add and delete, and this is actually the claims that we'll be passing back and forth. So that's cool. We got our regular MVC app, and I'm going to go into this. We've been talking about this for quite some time. We talked about connectors, so we have actually a connector here. This is a connector with O365. Once you go through this and you actually go through the connectors and different properties and authorization, we're going to take the token, we're going to save the token for you, and then I can use it. So you can use it from a Logic App, you can use it from my function, you can use it anywhere within my app.
I see. I thought the connector was only for Logic Apps, but you're saying you're saving that in that group, in that app service group, and then you can use it anywhere in there.
Yes.
That's cool.
And then we got Logic Apps, and we got functions. Let me just really quick, for example, I'll go back here and just show you a little bit of the code, since we're talking about with developers. So the login, for example, we talked about login and told you how easy it is to log in. So once you enable the EasyAuth and what you're using our mobile SDK, basically to be able to do the login is just those two line of code authentication, basically. So you do the auth, you run it, and you do basically login async, which is part of our mobile SDK. And with that, it will be able to do the song and dance for you to do the auth on the device.
I see.
As an example. And in terms of, let's see it's a little bit of the backend code. So this is the backend code. So this is our API layer. So you can see within the API layer, for example, we talked about it a little bit. This is an example of how we actually upload the bits into Azure Storage. So all the images and information, the package that the mobile app created, doesn't even go through API layer in terms of compute. It doesn't have like an API that receives the images themselves. What happened is that basically the app negotiates and requests a token, a SAS access token to storage, and then we upload directly into storage. This way, we basically, this is the best way to scale and secure. We like offload all the compute work, heavy load from our basically, if you run it on a VM or Azure Function, into storage, because now the clients directly communicate there.
I see. So instead of going to an API on the server and uploading this big blob of data and then putting it in the storage, this negotiates directly with storage to put it
correct.
There.
Correct. So we negotiate with the API to get a SAS token, but then directly upload to storage. And when it's ready, it's basically drops a item in a queue, basically a new claim with ID. And once it's in a queue, this is where the Azure Functions come into play. So we got the Azure Functions here, and again, I'm gonna go a little bit faster, but
yes,
yeah, probably. So this is Azure Function. It's cool. It's a serverless. You can see. You can actually have the full experience. You can build and run your application or the functions in the code editor in the browser, or you can obviously do it in Visual Studio, and you'll see some cool demos in a second. This the Integrate tab is where we handle triggers, output, input bindings. So as I said, as soon as there is a queue item, this function will run. And that's it. You don't need to figure out where it's going to run, what the scale capabilities, and so forth. And we do some bunch of stuff. We're running around through OCR. We do the cleanup and all of that. So
like looking at this application, I feel like I need to sit down with you for like 6 hours and just go through step by step all the, 'cause there's tons of great stuff in here, I feel like, that people could learn from.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yes, but yeah, we should.
Yeah, schedule some time. Going to.
Definitely. So you see, this is the last request I made. Here's a description, the information that we have passed. If I look at the second party, you can see here we extracted some of the information. I haven't shown all the code, but the functions are using Microsoft Cognitive Services to run OCR against the images to extract the information.
Wow.
It's all here. I'm gonna hit the approve reject, which we're going to basically approve or reject the approve in this case, the scenario, and yay. And basically what happened behind the scene, I actually even sent an email. Really quick, I'll jump into the logic part, just to show, because I needed to show the other part. So this is the logic I want to show you. The logic app has some cool features. For example, you can actually look at each logic execution. You can obviously edit, so you can see here the request came in. And what we have is we have a few functions here that are along the way. For example, the auto approve claim that go ahead and says, hey, do I need to approve or not? And you can see it was rejected, as we have seen.
So you can actually see in the kind of debugging experience, like what's happening inside the logic app when it actually executed. This isn't the kind of designer of creating it. This is what happened when that just ran, when Rehan did.
Right.
So, and then you also see the function integration. So we're talking about these things independently, but the function's right inside the logic app. You can create a new function inside the logic app or use an existing one that you already created in the website that Yohai just showed. So
and I haven't looked at this in a year, and like maybe since January. This is beautiful. It's much nicer than it was before.
It's come a long way. In
yeah.
So we basically do some tracking of events here. We have some correlation ID that we create, and we create it as soon as the first item or the first API call is being made. And I'm just going to copy it because it's the second part of the next stage. You can see different function here. You can see conditions, like if the claim was approved or disapproved, and you can see you can send emails, and you can see we use basically off. This is the connector in play, mm-hmm. and so forth. The last thing I think I want to show is basically, if I quickly go into App Insight, which I think you guys talked about previously, mm-hmm. You've seen through the code, and again, a little bit, we highlighted and we added a lot of telemetry information through the code. So what I can do here is basically use this information, take the correlation ID that I just copy and paste. And this is the new item, and what you're going to see here is, because this is how we instrumented our entire code, is like you'll be able to see, hopefully, everything that flew. So this is the entire thing end to end. This was a claim received from the mobile app all the way to what has happened with a single correlation ID through App Insight. You can see the entire change from the mobile app, which is our API backend, to the different function, to the logic apps themselves, back to the functions, back to the mobile app, or back to the web application.
I like that you have tracing going throughout the entire sort of, because usually when you're looking at these things separately, you're doing like a debug dot trace or whatever, and it only shows up in one area, but now you're seeing it across everything.
Right, so this is kind of a holistic view to let you show like the whole thing, how it flows, and later we're actually gonna see some cool demos with debugging and
Let's get a few questions in, and let's get into those demos. So the first question from Tim Posey: what's the maximum number of instances that can be started up using Azure Functions? Is that something we need to worry about, or does it just happen?
So in theory, it should just happen. You shouldn't be really worried about scale/instances with Azure Function or with serverless compute. If you do, then I personally failed.
Right.
And the number of instances is not actually correct, because it's maybe not instances, it's kind of invocation, how many functions you can run in throughput altogether. So off the bat, if you're going to try right now and run some load test against your application, you're going to get to several hundred HTTP or queue messages fairly easily. You can push it even further. We are actually working on releasing some official numbers very shortly on our documentation and blogs.
Awesome. Next question from Bob: how do you use API management to protect our logic app endpoints?
That's a great question. So I was going to call that out in the slides, because it's the piece we haven't got to that yet. So API management is another one of our great services. It's kind of part of this overall sort of set of umbrella services that we have with App Service. It's actually also in my team, so I really love talking about API management. A couple of things, actually. So you have the ability to consume APIs that you've defined through API management. So maybe you've got a bunch of web services or REST endpoints that you've already configured in API management. You can just use those from Logic Apps. You can actually click down and see all of the APIs that are available and just call them just like they're kind of native, like a function would be from a Logic App. The other thing that we showed off recently is actually being able to take a Logic App and expose that as an API through API management as well. So we kind of get this bi-directional integration between the two, and that's something we're working hard on getting out in preview very shortly. Wherever you start, you can end up with an API that's reusable in different contexts across different scenarios with different parts of App Service and manage the whole thing holistically through API management.
Awesome. Yeah. Next question from David, and this, Yohai, your first slide on Azure is so overwhelming that sometimes people are like, wow, it does all of that? That we get questions like this: what is Azure? Is it cross-platform, Windows, Mac OS, Linux, Windows Phone, Android, iOS? And is it easy to set up an app on all platforms? And that feels like a super huge question, right? It's very broad. So I want to see how you tackle this, Yohai. What do you got?
It's very broad and open-ended, but Azure itself is a huge collection of services, right? It's like the Azure Cloud, it's the Microsoft offering, mostly directed for developers and IT to run cloud application. To answer that, yes, Azure can support a lot of the workloads. It's obviously, you can run infrastructure as a service, ISVM, so you can run Windows, you can run Linux. If you're specifically talking about an app, then yes, if you have an app, for example, if you use Xamarin, right? If you use Xamarin and you create your app kind of once, basically, at least 90% of your model and code can be basically combined, and then you can run it across iOS, Android, Windows, Windows Phone, and so forth. The tooling, obviously, we can talk. So yesterday, we released some cool tools, right? So we've seen Visual Studio on a Mac.
Right.
Yeah, which is awesome, and can run both the Xamarin tools for the mobile development, but also backend services with .NET Core.
And the default file new actually creates the API backend and the front end, and it shows that sort of dance between them, which is really correct.
It is actually really, really awesome, right? We showed VS Code, which run across, obviously Windows, Linux, but I believe Scott Hanselman showed running on Ubuntu yesterday as well, including ability to step in and debug. So with respect to that, to that question, I believe yes, it's definitely cross-platform and application across any variety of backend services and client application.
Yeah, one of the things I want to interject as well that I'll actually show as part of my demos is we have plugins for other IDEs that run everywhere. So IntelliJ, for example. So if you're a Java developer and you want to run your Java code in Azure, we have a plugin for IntelliJ. You just right-click, publish to Azure App Service, and you can even remote debug from IntelliJ your Java code running in Azure. So if you're not a Microsoft customer, if you're using another tool set, We support that as well.
Awesome. Well, we are about halfway done, believe it or not. It's gone by fast. Why don't we get John to sort of go to his machine so we can start to get some of your demos going? Did you have some demos you wanted to do?
Yeah, I can do that now, or Andrew can do that. I can do that now.
Well, sure. Let's have you walk over, and then we'll get to talking a little bit about the tooling that we're going to see from your demo next. What are some things that you're going to show us as John gets set up?
Yeah, so there's three things I was planning to show today. First, I was planning to actually show the IntelliJ plugin that I talked about.
Okay.
So if you're a Java developer, prefer to work on a Mac for do Java, publishing a Java application into Azure, how you can even remote debug that Java code running in Azure. I was going to show our new .NET Core and Docker work that we're doing in Visual Studio, and we will be bringing that to Visual Studio for Mac as well in the longer term. And then I was going to show a preview of the tooling that is not yet shipped for creating Azure functions and debugging them in Visual Studio on your local machine.
I like that. Because one of the things that I noticed with Azure functions when I first looked at them a little bit ago was that, okay, how do I source control this? How do I debug this? And so I love that we're doing some stuff there. But John, are you ready over there, buddy?
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, let's get to your demo and let's see what you got. And I may ask questions if that's okay.
That's fine, yeah, because I'm going to switch context a little bit, still in Logic Apps, but looking at kind of the breadth of scenarios that we can do with Logic Apps today.
All right, let's do it.
Right, okay, so what I have here, if you can see my screen, can you see my screen?
Yeah, we got it.
So Logic Apps, we talked a lot about SAT service integration and just integration with other things in general, functions of API management. Two of the other scenarios we can do with Logic Apps is what we call kind of enterprise integration as part of our enterprise integration pack. Now, part of that, what you're looking at here is something called the integration account. So imagine, you know, I'm having to translate messages from one format to another using XML or converting from flat file to XML or something else. Or I'm dealing with trading partners. Maybe I'm exchanging invoices, purchase orders, shipping notifications, whatever it is, just standard business stuff. I build up a bunch of artifacts that I need to put somewhere, and these are things like XML schema or maps or even the trading partner configuration stuff themselves, and I want to reuse this across a bunch of Logic Apps. So I don't really want to put it inside the Logic App, and that's the job of the integration account. So for example, and I'll actually sort of show this running, I have partners. So I've got Contoso again, as you said, that they're an extremely broad company. So what I'm going to show here is how I can exchange messages with Contoso using the functionality of Logic Apps.
All right, let's switch to the screen right now, guys. Back there you go. Keep going,
okay.
John.
All right. I'll keep going. Yeah. So, and I'm going to use a protocol called AS2, which, if you're not familiar with this, is a way of sending messages securely between two parties. It uses HTTP, and it allows me to sign the messages. It allows me to encrypt the messages using certificates, which I also have in my integration account. So I can actually upload a certificate and sign the messages so that when the other guy receives it, he knows it's from me. And that's super important because AS2 is a non-repudiation protocol. And what that means is if I send you an order and you accept it and you send me an acknowledgement back again, we can't refute this in court. It's actually a legally binding protocol, so we actually are going through the process of being certified with Drummond to ensure that it does the right thing. So when I create those two partners, I can then create this agreement. And the agreement, you can see that it's an agreement between Contoso and Fabricam, and I can edit this. And I'll show you some of the things I was talking about. So I set the host partner and the guest partner, Contoso Fabricam, and I actually receive HTTP headers, so I have to have some way of identifying the person that I'm receiving the data from, and that's using these identifiers. So it's going to be HTTP headers coming in, and these are the values that I'm going to set the guest partner and host partner. And then on the receive side, because I'm going to be receiving a message in this way, and I can say, you know, here's the stuff where I can say, you know, I want to sign the message, I want to encrypt it, or I want to decrypt it in this case when I'm receiving it. But one of the things I want to talk about is here's the kind of acknowledgement side of this. This sort of message disposition notification is an acknowledgement. So I'm going to send an acknowledgement back after I receive that message, and I'm going to send this text back. So once I have all of that stuff in my integration account, I can leverage it from a Logic App. Now, a couple of things going on here. The first one is a Logic App consists of two basic concepts, a trigger, which is how the Logic App comes into being, how it fires, how it's created, And actions. And actions are things like this. They're connectors. So I'm getting data from somewhere or putting data somewhere or calling an Azure function in this case. This Azure function is actually using a tracking API, which we have, which sits on the integration account. So Yohai talked about Azure Diagnostics. We also have integration with OMS now, something we shipped just this week. So we can actually take all of this stuff. Imagine if I have hundreds or thousands of logic apps dealing with millions of messages with, you know, thousands of partners. That's a lot of data. We can push all of that into Ops Management Suite now, Log Analytics, and see it in aggregate, because I need to understand when I receive a message whether I got the acknowledgement back, because that's the definition of success. It's not successful if I didn't hear back from you that you received the message.
So John, there was a part where you did sort of the integration part of it. That's part I didn't quite understand. Like, you were talking about AS2 messages that were acknowledged to received, like an order, for example.
Yeah.
Tell me about that screen. Is that a new screen?
This is the integration account. This went into preview in the summer time frame. So this is what lets you create things like the partners and the agreements and the definitions between those two parties, and then use it from a logic app.
I see. So this is a principled way of getting messages into a logic app that you can't say, oh, I didn't send that.
Yes. Okay. And that's what AS2 does. So that's why I have this decode AS2 step. So after I received the message over HTTP, I pass in the body from that an initial trigger, and then I can decode the message. And I'm also doing some tracking, as I mentioned. And then I do a condition. This is actually reaching into that integration account. It gets the configuration and says, is an acknowledgement expected by the other guy? And if it is, then I need to send a response back. And in the response, I'm just going to send whatever I had configured against that partner, which was that, you know, well, I'll show you in a second when I run it. So to show how that works, here's an HTTP client Postman. Here's an order message I'm going to send in. You can see this is just XML, but it could really be anything. Here's the headers on this that I mentioned. So I'm sending in Contoso and Fabricam as the identifiers, so it can match the partners to the agreement, so it can do the lookup of that at runtime. So it works out what agreement it is and then can use the certificates and everything else to figure out whether it's valid or not. And I can just sort of paste that in. And if I do that, what should happen is I should get a response back, and the response should be the acknowledgement. And you see, you know, here it is. Thanks for your AS2 message. This came from that configuration that I set up on the agreement. So I've received that XML order. I could do more work. I could do transformation on it, convert it to something else, put it into a line of business system on premises using our on-prem data gateway. But I need to send an acknowledgement back, and that's what this does. So, you know, the end-to-end whole process allows me to sort of track what's going on. And I'll just really briefly mention this before you tell me to shut up, is here's the ops management side of this. So you see I have an AS2 tile here, and I can just drill into this, and I can see all of that log track data, that message exchange that occurred between the two partners. Okay, let's give it a couple of seconds to load. So this is kind of the historical view of all the data. You can see here's the one at 12:26, which is just a few minutes ago. And I can drill into that and use the power of OMS to then query that data. We provide pre-canned queries. You can find that order in the sea of data that you're collecting and processing through your overall system and see what's going on and manage it all holistically.
And this is awesome because logic apps, I was using it to move pictures around to different places and put it on a website. But now you can do some serious sort of enterprise level sort of agreements, purchases, pretty much anything.
You can do pretty much anything. Yeah, if you can connect to it, you know, our goal is that we make it easy to connect to. So, you know, here, you know, I can use the API apps, that's part of App Service. If I have those created, so maybe I've got an existing assembly or library that I just want to wrap up and then consume that from a logic app, I can do that. Here's the API management integration I talked about. We can also call another logic app, so you can break these down into functional components and get reuse and pass context. And to Yohai's point, we actually track a correlation token, so you can do end-to-end tracking. You can pass in an identifier into a logic app. We'll track it all the way through and out the other side, through the whole process. So again, you can see what's going on. You know, we connect to things like SAP with this, you know, an ERP system on premises. You need to know, you know, the full end-to-end process and monitor it so you understand when there's a problem, where's the problem, so I can help, you know, I can fix it quickly and easily.
That's awesome. Well, I love it. It's come a long way, logic apps. I mean, to go from, like to build that application from scratch, you'd have to build this whole state machine, but now it's just like hook some stuff up and you're done.
Yep.
All right, so you promised us three things in tooling. We got about, I think, 20 minutes left, and we want to leave some time for more questions.
All right. Can we switch to my monitor?
Yeah, let's switch to his monitor because it's on extend right now.
Yeah.
Very good.
Weird display driver issue with this particular machine.
So you're gonna scroll over to this side.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
And then you're gonna
All right, so let's go ahead and start.
And then let's move that over.
Bring this over here. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start here in IntelliJ, which I mentioned. Sorry, I'm going to have to turn around here while I do this. And so I have it's a simple Java servlet. It's going to do some real fancy things. It's going to take two numbers from an HTTP post. It's going to sum them, and it's going to return the content as a JSON blob that tells me what the two numbers were and what the sum was. So nothing too fancy, but I mentioned I have the Azure plugin for IntelliJ. So I just come up here, I right-click on my project, and I say Azure, and I say publish as Azure Web App. It's already actually been published once before, but let's go ahead and publish it again. So if I didn't if I hadn't set it up before, I'd do this plus, I'd come in, it'd pop up eventually, and it would let me go ahead and configure some information about it. You know, what version of Apache do I want to run on? What version of the JDK? Where do I want to run it? What resource group? Kind of standard Azure stuff that I do. Since I already have it pre-provisioned, we won't wait for the provisioning. It's pretty quick, about 30 seconds, but for the purposes of demo, nobody wants to sit here while it takes 30 seconds to set up the first time. And then I'll go ahead and see, it's telling me that it's deploying to Azure.
And this is all in IntelliJ.
This is all in IntelliJ, absolutely. So this is not even, exactly, I could be running this on my Mac, I could be running this anywhere I run IntelliJ. I don't have to be a .NET developer, I don't have to be a Visual Studio customer. So this is the website we published to, so now let's go ahead and say, open in browser. It'll go ahead and pop my browser. So I can tell that everything's been set up. And if we go to the name of our app that we just did, so we should say Java Azure, and let's go ahead and hit our servlet. And so it's just going to give me a little form. Just as I said before, it's going to take two numbers from a post request. Let's say, what is 2 + 3? And when I go ahead and click that button, it's going to submit the query, and it's going to return a JSON blob that says the number is 2, number 1 is 3, and then the sum was 5. So that looks right. So now, because it turns out that it's actually really, really hard to write logic that takes two numbers and sums them,
sure.
I'm going to go ahead and consume this from a .NET service. So
of course, one
of the things we talked to, that we know that a lot of customers have is they work in mixed mode environments. Some people on the team write in Java, some people on the team write in .NET, and how do you make the two services talk to each other? And so one of the really exciting new technologies that we have that Yohai talked a little bit about is Docker. So .NET Core now lets us run .NET applications potentially on Linux. So if you're a customer that wants to run, you have some Java stuff that's running in a Linux environment, and you need your Java and your .NET code to talk back and forth, you can now co-locate those on a Linux service. And we have a preview of Linux and Docker actually in app service now. So Azure is not just Windows. Azure also supports Linux. So let's go ahead and just fire up an ASP.NET Core application.
Let's move it over so people can see
it. Yep, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. All right, so what I have here is I have Visual Studio 2015 RC, the one that we shipped a preview of yesterday. So I'm going to pick a new ASP.NET Core application. Web application 10 will be just fine for the purposes of this. And so I have two options right now. So I'm going to go ahead and pick a web application. I could check enable Docker, which will enable everything I need to do to build this as a Docker image from the start. I'm going to go ahead and skip that because it's possible to add that later. So if you already have a .NET Core project that you've been working with, you're interested in adding Docker support to it, or if you have a full framework .NET, ASP.NET site that you've been working with before and you want to run that in a Windows container, we also have support for that now.
Sure.
So I'm going to go ahead and click OK. We're going to go ahead and create this project. And as it pops up, it'll take a couple seconds to create here. I want to point out that everything I'm showing from here on out, we are on the bleeding edge. So this is a preview release of the workload. And then the Azure Function stuff that I mentioned I'm going to show here in a minute doesn't even exist yet. So let's go ahead and add a little message down here to the About page that will tell us what operating system we're running on. So we're going to ask .NET Framework. Helps if I can type up here. What version of .NET we are, or what version of the operating system we're running on. So let me go ahead. I should have this on my clipboard. We'll see what happens. Perfect.
Yes.
So this one, now when I hit F5, or we'll Control F5 this just to make it a little faster. So brand new site.
It's going to move it over to the other screen.
It is going
to
move it. That's okay, because I'll.
There you go.
Should pop up here in a second. And now when I click the About page, I can see that we're running on Microsoft Windows 10 and my version of Windows. So that's all well and good. But what if we want to now Dockerize this application so that we can run it in a Linux container? I'm going to right click. I'm going to say Add. And I'm going to say Docker project support. Since I only have one project in the solution, I don't need to do solution level support. So let's go ahead and say Docker project support.
should take a couple seconds. And
because solution level support would add a container for each project.
Correct.
Got it. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So if I have multiple sites that talk to each other, and so I can now see that I've added some Docker Compose files to my solution, and now my start button up here says that we're going to run it as a Docker application as well. So let's go ahead and launch this again. And it's going to run the Docker Compose. So now I can see down the build output window that I'm running some Docker stuff to build that Docker image. And then when that fires up and runs, I'm going to expect that our browser now is going to actually show us that we are running on Linux. We're not no longer running on Windows. And sure enough, I can see that I'm running Linux 4.4 for Mobi. So just with one click, I now have a Docker container of my .NET Core app that's actually running on Linux that's not running on Windows.
That's amazing. So we showed the we first showed the IntelliJ IDE. We showed tooling for Docker,
yep.
And we showed how it actually literally is on Linux. And there was one more thing you were going to show us. I think it was Azure Function tooling, right?
Azure Function tooling, yeah. So the last thing I want to show here before, though, so what we're doing is running this locally right now. So let's say I want to go ahead and...
There's more goodness
there's
to this.
There's more goodness okay. to this. So how do I get this application up into Azure? And I'm going to be like any good cooking show. I'm going to switch over here to my pre-baked application that is going to call that...
And I think it's over here on your main...
Thank you for the reminder. So all this is going to do now is in this about page, you can see that I'm going to call my Java service that I published earlier. I'm going to get the JSON back, and I'm going to display that on my page.
Oh,
so I'm going to go ahead and push this up to Azure now, so we can have two Azure services talking to each other. So I'm going to right-click, I'm going to say Publish. I'm going to come into this new Publish page. And if I didn't have any profiles created, if I hadn't published this previously, I'd come in here, I'd say New Profile. I'd pick Azure App Service Linux, and you can see that that's in preview form right now. So this is going to run on Linux for us. And when I click OK, it's going to go ahead, it's going to ask me for some information. And the extra piece of this when I'm working with Docker is there's this concept of a container registry. And so how Docker works is we build an immutable image. And ultimately, that's what's running. And the one of the reasons people really like Docker is, A, it's really lightweight. You'll see when we publish this in a second that my image is only about 18 megabytes. And it has my application fully contained and isolated. So I can have different versions of the runtime for different applications that are running on the same physical server hosted in different containers. And they're not going to mess with each other. They're not going to inherit the runtime from the system. They're not going to inherit the runtime from another application. So we've known for many, many years .NET developers have struggled with a lot of times you're limited into the production environment that it's the lowest common denominator. This application only works on .NET 4.0, so everything has to run on .NET 4.0, and you don't get to take advantage of great new functionality. So,
sure.
So containers should fix that. And so what the container registry does is that we actually push the image to container registry, and then the app service plan is going to download and execute that image that we published. So again, spirit of cooking show, if I click create, it'll just create another published profile. So it would go ahead and just populate with all of this. It's pretty quick. It takes about a minute to provision all that, which it's doing a lot of work. And so now when I go ahead and click publish, I'll see this dialog will pop up. It's going to do some work. It's going to push this up to Azure for me.
And so effectively, you're going to have this Java app. There's a service, and you're getting on your other screen, you're getting some stuff already.
Oh, yep. Sorry. I keep forgetting about the screen issues. It went away. But so basically what it did is it popped up just a little console window that was tracking the Docker publish process. So it was just showing me that it was doing some work, that it was publishing up the container image registry. We've now restarted our website. We've detected it's restarted. When I click about, I guess it's still finishing starting here. There we go. Takes a couple seconds for it to start. Danger of live demos. Okay, perfect.
What effectively you did is the reason why it didn't exist is because it was still pushing it out.
Yeah, well, I had already created it once.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't empty.
Oh, I see.
And so what happened was like there was something there, and so Visual Studio checked. It worked.
You had to wait 3 seconds, man. That's a long
I know.
Time.
It was in the process of restarting.
Jeez, man.
And so you can see now up in Azure, you can see this is my .NET Core app, a bunch of numbers, Azure websites.net. We're running on Linux, and now if we do our numbers, so 4 plus 11, I hear that's hard math. It should actually go call our Java website. It should come back, and it should tell us 4 plus 11 is 15. So just in the course of, about 10 minutes or less, we have created a Java service in IntelliJ, pushed that to Azure.
We created a .NET Core app, containerized it, are running it on Linux and Azure, and the .NET Core app is actually talking to the Java service.
Cats and dogs living together as friends. I mean,
The last thing I want to show very briefly is this is the stuff Yohai was talking about.
Take your time.
Is Azure Functions tooling. So this is, when it comes out, it will only work in Visual Studio 2015 to start. We will, by the time we ship Visual Studio 2017 as an RTM product, have this in there as well. So let's go ahead and just, I'll show the experience for creating a new project. So we have this concept of an Azure Functions project. And when I create that, I would get a empty project. So let's go ahead and create this. I'll open my existing one in a second, and you'll see why. So as I mentioned, this is still under development. But then to add a new Azure function, I can add a function from any language I want. So I want to say add new Azure function. And I can pick from my list of templates. These are all the things that Yohai mentioned. So we have Batch, C Sharp, JavaScript, Bash, F Sharp, PHP, PowerShell, Python.
And what are all the templates?
Yeah, so these templates are actually coming from the Azure feed. So this is whatever, anything that you can create in the portal. So the idea is you could talk about all the ones better than I could. But we have the basic ones. We have a blob trigger. So this is the idea, something that's going to get triggered when you push something into blob storage.
So those are all basically templates that are pre-created for you just to handle specific triggers and binding that we have mentioned, like all different triggers that can basically trigger our application.
So effectively, these are
storage, HTTP.
Yeah. When you're creating an Azure function online, it's going to say, do you want to build one of these?
Right.
And now you're just pulling it from Visual Studio.
You choose, yeah.
Yep. So here, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to go use my pre-one so people don't see the connection string to my storage account. But I'd provide the storage account connection. So we'll say storage account, create. It'll go ahead and pop in this new function. So I'm going to go ahead and flip back here.
L-tap.
File, recent projects and solutions to my pre-created Q function. And so what I did is I created a Azure function that is going to be triggered whenever I push something into my storage queue. And one of the beauties of working with Visual Studio is we support remote debugging to these through Cloud Explorer, and that actually works today. Even if you have Visual Studio 2015, nothing installed, just by virtue of the fact that remote debugging .NET applications works to app service in general. But I can local debug this. So I'm going to go ahead and hit F5. It's going to start up my this queue locally. So I'll see a command prompt pop up that tells me that the function is now running, that the function's been loaded. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here to my Azure Storage Explorer, and I'm going to add a message to the queue, and I expect that this breakpoint's going to be hit. So let's say, hello, channel 9, exclamation point. Let's push that into my queue through Storage Explorer, and I can see that the breakpoint's been hit in Visual Studio. When I hover over the my queue item parameter that's been passed in, I can see it's the message that I just pushed into my storage queue. So one of the other beauties, as you mentioned, source control and the editor in Visual Studio, but we're also bringing a local debugging experience for the CSX files. When we ship the first preview, that will only work for C# functions.
This is pretty cool stuff. I mean, one of the things I had a hard time with is that I couldn't, this can all go in source control. Right. This can all be sort of debugged, deployed in your CI/CD sort of system. Before, I was nervous about typing stuff into a portal. I knew it would work, but how do I debug? How do I test? I love this. So Yohai, you want to say something?
Yeah, so certain developer expects certain, you know, tools and stuff. So obviously, a lot of customers will be happy and to be able to run. So what you've seen is like the local function runtime basically run locally and ability to debug, and the queue was a real Azure queue. It wasn't a simulator or anything like that. It was actual queue in Azure that basically triggered your function, and you can locally debug and run it. And we have an Azure function command line tool, which basically allows you to do the same thing with VS Code for Node.js.
That's awesome. You were going to say something, John.
Yeah, I was just going to add, because I didn't mention it and didn't get a chance to demo it, is that same for logic apps, right? That I was creating a logic app in the browser. I think that's probably the scenario that people use first. It's super convenient, but you know, to your point, how do I do ALM? How do I check it into source control? So we have Visual Studio support for logic apps as well. You can actually create the same designer actually inside Visual Studio. You can create it because there's a JSON template behind this thing that is the definition of the logic app. So you can check that in, you can manage it, and then you can deploy straight from Visual Studio. So I just wanted to call that out.
All right, We have. Sorry to cut you off. We have about 2 minutes, and I'm going to just get yes, no questions or asterisk. Yes, no, with a little star, okay? So would the performance of Logic Apps be comparable to that of the code-integrated applications?
Do you want me to give a yes, no star answer to that?
Yes, with a star. No, yeah. With a star.
It has to be, it depends. We actually do some clever stuff because we parallelize things where we can, even in loops and things. So it may be better, it may be different, depending on what you're trying to do. So comparing it to kind of procedural code when it's kind of a functional type execution model is hard. But you know, certainly we're not seeing customers complaining about the performance of Logic App, but I'll say that.
Next one from Mark. Are there examples of how to structure a complex set of functions with shared code and assemblies? Yes or no with a star? We got to go really
fast.
Yes,
all in documentation.
All the documentation.
Available online.
Azure Function is awesome, but why can't we run a function that takes longer than 5 minutes? I don't know.
So yes, with an asterisk, with 5 minutes is a current limitation and probably will change in the future.
Awesome. How can I improve latency throughput of a simple binary running on Azure Functions?
Can run sure, yes, with a star.
You can.
You can.
But with a star. Should I be writing a dot? It's a good one. Next one. Can you throttle the Azure functions to only do a certain number of ones simultaneously that if it uses SQL Azure database, it does not hit the DTU ceiling? Oh, that's a very specific question.
Yes, so it's also yes with a star. There are capabilities, you need to know what you're doing.
Okay, and now let's see. I think that's the last one. For existing Azure functions, should I be able to easily grab code from Azure using FTP and get it into Visual Studio? Like they've already built Azure Functions and they want to get into Visual Studio.
Yeah, so there's just in Azure Function goes to the go to your Integrate tab and launch the Kudu Explorer, right? The Kudu backend for App Service and just download the entire thing as a zip file, one zip file for your whole.
If you want to work with individual files as well, you can go through Cloud Explorer and you can just double click an individual file and it'll actually pull it down. You can edit it right and there in Visual Studio. And when you save it, it'll push it back through HTTP protocol.
You're right. You don't need to even download. Just hook up with the Cloud Explorer.
We are learning things all together.
Yes.
This is awesome. I think we burned through like 10 questions. There were some asterisks, though. We'll have to get back to this. Obviously, there's tons more work we're going to do with Channel 9. And you guys, just let me know, and I'll come by and we'll talk more about this. We have learned a lot about Azure Web Service. We learned about functions, Logic Apps, and tooling. Thanks so much. We're going to turn it over to Dimitri. Go, buddy.
Hey. All right. Well, thank you, Seth. We're back. How's it going, Kendra?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, this was great. I mean, Logic Apps is a really great tool for people, and App Service, I mean, it applies to everything. App Service is everywhere. There's almost no Azure, I think, conversation that we can have without talking about App Service. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great show coming up next. So what's next for us?
Yeah, we're going to build microservices with Microsoft Azure.
Yeah, microservices.